Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects on an Friday. And we are happy to have you along for the ride. Wherever you may be, doing whatever you're doing on this ready for the weekend Friday in the big city. Beautiful day out there. Was great this morning with a little chill in the air and a breeze, and now it's hotter than hot as we get into the afternoon hours.
Are you telling me I shouldn't do yard work today? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm thinking based on what you've told us about what you've been doing just with your downtime lately, you need to get out in the heat and sweat.
Are you calling me fat? Are you calling me
I'm
fat,
not.
Joel?
I don't take personal pot shots at you like that, but I know that Totino's pizza at 1:30 in
Wait
the morning.
Wait a minute.
No. Especially on that topic. But I'm just saying, I don't think it hurts you if you get out there and do a little gardening work, because based on how much time you're spending in front of a microphone and a television screen or computer, I think you need some fresh air, and you need to sweat a little bit and get out in the great outdoors.
All right. You know what? Bite your tongue, young man.
Tell everybody Bite about Dan Cummins if they missed the hour one with our Comedian of the Week, F for Funny.
Yeah, Dan Cummins is our Comedian of the Week. And I shout out and hat tip to Aaron Rabel. By the way, Aaron, welcome to the show.
Yep, join us now.
Happy to be here.
Hour number two. But he said he was supposed to be at the Secret Group, which I didn't know. So that was cool. And I thought, well, that's cool. That was a good suggestion because we can show love to a local Houston business that's shut down because of the coronavirus and give them a nice little plug and help them, you know, get. So it was a good decision and a good idea. And shout out to Aaron for coming up with it. And it's a funny dude, man. Dan Cummins is a funny dude. He's got a great couple podcasts, done it all in television, and he's funny. So
he hosted on Playboy Radio too for a while.
Yeah, he was selected as there. That was like 2015, I think, right?
Yeah.
Now, what's the purpose of Playboy Radio? We all know it's about the pictures.
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to.
Although I for a while there, it was kind of Howard Sternish, but with the actual playmates and girls that have posed with potty mouth. But Aaron, you tell me, what's the bonus?
Yeah, that was my understanding. It's basically it was the Howard Stern early 90s type of shows, and it would be a comedian set up to host with somebody else, and then daily or weekly or something, they'd bring in, you know, hey, this is the girl who's just got naked last week in the magazine, and they would talk to them and interview them and stuff like that.
And hope they said something dirty and got it.
Yeah.
And did they stream it live? But I guess not, because I'm with you.
I think it was just satellite radio at the time.
I never understood that. I've said that before on this show, but I've never understood the fascination with naked chicks on the radio. Because that's a thing, right? Like, I mean, we've talked about that being a thing. And if you have a Twitch stream or something like that, okay. But Stevens and Pruitt used to do that back in the day. They would always have some, you know.
Oh God!
Strippers.
When I was working for the Rock, when I first got the job with the Rockets, and we had our deal, our deal was with 740 AM, which was obviously sister station of KLOL and Stevens and Pruitt, and we wanted to go in and have to do production in the mornings at KTRH because whatever was going on at Stevens and Pruitt involved strippers. It was how many hangers can a stripper hang off of her nipple? Or this, that, and the other thing. And it didn't matter if we didn't have any social media and there was no video of it accessible. It was must listen to radio in Houston on the way to work. Everybody was talking about it.
It's crazy. Crazy that people would get that jazzed over naked chicks on the radio. The radio.
Yep.
Not like, oh, hey, you're going to have a hot chick on your radio show and I can tune in on the Twitch feed or the live stream and look at her, which I would totally understand because that's pretty awesome.
Well, and then
– but I was amongst – I would be driving to work when I was working in the apartment business, listening to Stevens and Pruitt, thinking, man, that's so freaking awesome. How cool is that, that they got strippers in there doing whatever weird thing they would have them do and that they would gladly do it? No problem. Yep. No question.
Oh, and she's going to talk? Oh, I got to hear that. And then they made more money off of it because they spun it into the whole Miss Rockware thing, which was a huge deal. Before there was Hawaiian Tropic bikini contests and all these other contests they used to do, they used to go out and do like your Rock the Mic. They would do the whole Miss Rockware preliminaries at a bar, and it would pack the joint, and then they would prolong it for like months at a time, and then they'd do a series of posters with the finalists and then the winner. And I mean, people would knock down old ladies with a grocery cart just to get a poster. They had a corner of the market forever on not being able to see strippers.
It was I loved Stevens and Pruitt with, you know, Boner. What was it? It was Boner, and then what was it? Locke Siebenhausen or whatever?
Something like that, yep.
Yeah. It was the best. It really was. It was great radio, man, and they were such pioneers here. And I don't know if you caught the story at the end of when I did my live chat with Randy Lemon, but he talked about being in the same building as them. It was 740 and 101 were in the same building. And they, you know, he was like, you know, I was kind of the dorky garden guy and they didn't talk. But apparently somebody, this was back in the day, he told the story about dump buttons. And somebody got through and said something awful. And they loved it so much they wanted to run it on the air. And that everybody was mad because they wanted to run it. They ended up inviting him to the Christmas party that year and playing it in front of everybody. And just had a great time with it. It was cool though to hear those stories because they were radio gods, self-proclaimed, but literally in this town, them and Outlaw Dave were just, you know, head and shoulders above everybody for a very long time.
Bro, the former Miss Rockware winners include Jennifer Reyna.
What? Is that how she got her start?
Sean Bagwell, the former wife of Jeff Bagwell, who then later went on to like Days of Our Lives and did some things in Hollywood. But yeah, there were some Miss Rockwares that made a name for themselves for sure through winning that contest. But there were quite a few that had a lot of popularity in Houston because of the fact that they won Miss Rockware.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that was kind of a big deal back in the day. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I do remember that, like, Jeff Hagedorn was our studio host at the time for the Rockets, and we were doing all kinds of radio production, and we were single dudes. We were like, man, I certainly hope we got something to do at KTRH in the morning, and whenever that Stevens and Pruitt are doing any of their photo shoots or interviews with any of the Rockware contestants, it was like, yeah, it was must be in attendance type stuff.
Good times, man. Good times.
I'm witnessing both on Twitter and otherwise, boy, the feedback coming in on this Tunsil deal, people are not happy at all, as they should be. But will they react to it? Probably not.
Well, who react to it?
I mean, the Texans. They don't care what y'all what anybody thinks. And it's just another guy that they're going to overpay. Until they get to the point where they're completely strapped out, like, who was it that we were talking about? The Chiefs were down to either $171 or $171,000 left under the cap.
No, it was $171. They literally had less than $200. Super
Bowl. Well, it's getting close to the fact that at a certain point, Bill O'Brien's going to have to go, yeah, we're no closer to winning a Super Bowl. We got rid of our best receiver, and we're $43 from going over the cap. So, yay us.
Well, you knew, though, it had to be done. They did it. You knew they were going to pay a king's ransom for it. They still overpaid, even though we already knew they were going to overpay. Now they, like, double overpaid. They overpay. So it's done. It's over with. And now the last one that GM Bill O'Brien's really going to have in his crosshairs going forward is Deshaun Watson. I mean, that's the next big contract that he's got to look at and say, okay, all the moves I make have to be centered around trying to keep Deshaun Watson as the quarterback of this team until Deshaun Watson decides to retire. So, you know, be smart with the money, I guess, because he hasn't been so far.
No, really has not, and obviously it doesn't look like anything's changing as we continue to is the overriding theme for everything Houston Texans. They're on the clock tonight with pick number 40. It will be their first selection in the draft. We'll see where that goes as we continue to talk about some football as well as some other things. So we'll continue to roll. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, at Barry is funny, at PacManjol with a K, at Aaron is blitzed if you want to reach us via Twitter. And we'll continue to kick around a lot on an FEF Friday. Before we get to all that, though, I do want to tell you about the people at Apollo Men's Health. Literally, they're still open every single day, and they're conveniently located just outside of downtown, down the Pearland Way and Lake Jackson Way. They have two different offices. But they're going to help you guys out there that are having problems with energy levels and not being able to perform, whether it be in the gym, having enough energy for your family, maybe in the bedroom. They've got the answers and the solutions to your issues, and they're going to do it in a very friendly, family-like atmosphere where they take care of you every step of the way. They have traditional testosterone therapy, but with the pandemic going on with the coronavirus, they also have cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy that works the same way but reduces the amount of times you actually have to go into the office. So it's a win-win for you as you continue to find that extra gear and that little extra boost of energy. They also have body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy. Everything they do increases your overall quality of life because your health is your wealth. Invest in yourself. Call 832-664-9966 or go to their website, apollomh.com. Book your first appointment. Most major insurance accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sciarra.
Thank you, guys. Sounds like you guys are doing well. I'm doing pretty well. I don't have a lot to complain about right now other than being occasionally hungry, which I don't care for. That's my main complaint right now, because I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight, and I don't really want to. I didn't think I needed to, but then I saw a picture of myself taken when I didn't know cameras were around. It was taken from the side when I was not wearing a shirt or sucking in my gut, and that's when I learned that my side profile does not match my front profile. I had no idea what was happening down here. I was like, how could I be this unaware of how I look to the rest of the world? How could I be that in the dark? And I realized it's because when I see myself, it's always from the front. It's usually the bathroom mirror. You know, I'm bent over at a flattering angle. I got a soft 40-watt light. I like that very much. I instinctively suck in my gut without even thinking about it. Just push air into my chest. Just kind of think something along the lines of, you're doing great, Cummins. Good job, buddy. It's like Meat Lover's Pizza doesn't even touch you, you son of a bitch. How do you do it? How do you do it? You can't help a dryer making your pants super duper tight. That's heat and science working against you. That's a dryer's business right there. Turns out from the front, I look like a dude who lifts weights. From the side, I look like a dude who shouldn't because it's probably bad for the baby.
Dan Cummins, we talked about him now in both hours of the show of the fact that on an FEF Friday, he's a funny guy. You and Aaron Barry were on top of the fact that he was supposed to be in town. But good stuff there, and we'll have another clip from him at 3:15. Also worth mentioning with all of our talk about the draft that, again, the draft will be on 97.5 as it was last night. Again, tonight, Blitz is only going with a short show until 5 o'clock tonight as they get going with the second and third rounds. Then Saturday, it's going to be an all-day affair starting at noon. It's all brought to you by Rexel and RexelUSA.com. Head to RexelUSA.com to learn more about their services. But because of them and because of you, you get ESPN 97.5 draft coverage on the station the next 2 days. Fantastic stuff there. So just want to make sure we pointed that out as we move forward. Mike Greenberg's going to join us from ESPN, probably to head off the 3 o'clock hour. So stay tuned for that as well. So that should be good to catch up with Greeny and talk about a lot of different things with him as the possibilities are endless. I wanted to get to some of the crazy stuff that was noticeable with this whole virtual draft setup. First of all, the commissioner. I mean, he's still trying to call all the shots while he's trying to do live TV and become like a pseudo on-air host for the draft on both ABC and ESPN, which was another thing that we'll get to because that was confusing. But he's doing like telling people what to shoot, what, you know, framing things, and they're coming back too soon, so they're hearing him on the air. He did a wardrobe change like Vanna White after like the first half of the first round. He went from the jacket with the button down to the V-neck sweater, and everybody was like, "What did he just change? Go into the bathroom or go upstairs and grab a sweater? Was he chilly?" I didn't get that. But then as they went around the league and the social media as your barometer, like, did people notice that? And then you go to Twitter and go, oh, yes, they did. First things first, everybody noticed Cliff Kingsbury is a baller. His living room and his crib, woo-hoo-hoo!
Oh, my goodness. That is a ladies' man's pad if I've ever seen one. He was – did you see even Patrick Mahomes was like, I'm just trying to get a house like Cliff.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, badass. And you know, like, he used to date Holly Saunders before she got all crazy and started chasing Vegas Dave. But you know Cliff has always been known as a ladies' man. If being a head coach in the NFL or even a college coach didn't get him before, hey, you want to come over and see the crib? Come on. Let's go. Start a little fire right there in the middle of that beautifully manicured, like, checkerboard lawn slash.
Well, no, that was turf. Don't get it. Don't say that.
Whatever
was
it was,
lawn.
It
was
clean.
Turf.
But the fact that your living room is all windows with the white sofa and the fireplace and everything like that, I'm like, dude is balling. It's crazy. And then, as well, and let's stay with that, with team officials. So we had that coach. Then you had Gruden. Gruden, whose little roided-up, musclehead son was bouncing around, and the whole family was there. But John wasn't too keen on making sure that he probably shouldn't leave his whole draft board right there in full view, so anybody with any team that wanted to know what the Raiders were thinking during the draft, all they got to do is get a little zoom on a freeze frame and realize everything that they were thinking was on the whiteboard right there.
I was kind of expecting that to be one of these issues. But you know they've set up a war room before with cameras in it. Why would this be any different?
Right.
That's just something you should take into account. But, yeah, you
– And before we get to the whole families and how they reacted, one other one, Mike Vrabel, what the hell's going on at your house, sir? Because, no. One, you got a kid that's got a porn stash and a mullet wearing one of your Pro Bowl jerseys that looked like – he was about to film a B-rated porn somewhere in the house. You had his other kid who had head-to-toe, two-tone spandex on, including headgear, just standing there awkwardly posing. And then, as Websoids pointed out, while you were still trying to figure out what those two kids were doing, if you look slightly to the left, there was a mirror in which you could see another kid dropping a deuce on a toilet right there in full view.
Well, now so it turns out he wasn't pooping.
It doesn't turn out, because I know you're going to tell me this, Barry, but why are his pants at his ankles if he's just chilling in another room?
It just looks like that. They said he was sitting on a stool, that he wasn't in the background pooping. That was a reflection in a glass door. Mm. But it did look like it, though. It looked like he was dropping a deuce, but apparently.
And based on how the other two kids look, it wouldn't surprise me if they pooped with the door open.
No, you know, it almost made me feel like it was almost like a flash mob for silliness at you know at Vrabel's house where it was like, okay, everyone do something crazy when the camera comes on. So you had them sitting by the Titans banner and the kid in the spandex suit. Then you're like, all right, I'm going to go in the background and look like I'm pooping. Like, that's what it looked like, but that just wasn't the case. Unfortunately.
I don't know.
It reminded me of, you know, that bar top game that you can play sometimes. You put in a dollar and it's like, hey, find the five weird things that are off on this picture.
Yep.
Like, it was like that. Like, hey, what do you think should not be in this picture right now? Oh, yeah, the guy in the weird Frozen or whatever superhero suit. And the
what
guy
was
with the
that
mullet
outfit and he was wearing? It looked like it was like a bobsled team's secondary uniform. It had the headgear all the way down to, like, he was wearing shorts, and it was still, like, the tights were coming out the bottom. And I don't know what he had going on.
It looked weird. Like the Freeze hero from The Incredibles.
Yes.
Okay.
That, yep. I think that's what it was.
I thought
it was just
like
a
the
really,
Titans.
Really poorly made version of that, which you would think if your dad's Mike Vrabel, he could spend the, you know, probably $100 to get you the authentic costume that somebody made for Halloween. But
the kid was probably 16 years old. I don't know why he needs that. And it, to me, it looked like he was bored and got into the equipment room for the Titans and found some of their cold weather gear and went, you know what? With a pair of shorts, this could be a pretty good looking outfit. I don't know, but the whole family aspect of it, I don't know if they were told to do that to kind of humanize an otherwise stressful situation, but there were more kids trying to show out and more family members looking ridiculous. I could have done without all of it. And Andy Reid, your coach, Barry, sitting there with his Hawaiian and some like fruity concocted drink, and his wife is like sawing logs on the couch behind him because the Chiefs don't pick till the very last pick. And she's, like, trying to stay awake, and the head's bobbing back. And I'm like, do we need all this?
The funny thing is the Andy Reid stuff, I started getting memes because everybody's like, hey, here's your coach. And one of them, you know, they showed that picture of him in his Hawaiian shirt looking at his phone with his headphones on. And then they would it would be a side-by-side. It would have him looking at his phone, and then it would have the picture next to it was, like, supposedly what you could see on the screen, and it was a slab of ribs.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so great. Yeah, people were getting after it, man.
And then we don't even get to when the players, when we get to them, we'll get to that next. Because C.D. Lamb had issues. Moms had issues. There were a lot of things going. Dads had issues. There were a lot of things going on in the family rooms of draft picks last night that we can get to as well. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. With that, stay tuned as the second half of the show. We'll start with that and a whole lot more. So we look forward to you joining us, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects as we open up the second half of the show. It is Barry, Aaron Raybould, and myself as we were talking about many different issues with the virtual and online draft last night with the NFL. By the way, Roger Goodell, not only changing clothes and wardrobes and wardrobe issues during the course of the show, also makes the big announcement that because Vegas wasn't able to have the draft this year, he's the commissioner. He makes these decisions. He says, Vegas, you're getting it next year. No, you're not. You're getting it in 2023.
He didn't even How say difficult. Next year. He said they'll host it in 2020 and then just kept carrying on. And everybody was like, yeah, it is 2020, dude.
Yeah, I was like, Raj, what are you doing? This is your call.
Well, look, overall, I thought he did a fine job. I thought he embraced his goofiness, but that was kind of dumb. But he misspoke. You know what he meant, Joel. You act like you've never misspoke on The Usual Suspects.
No,
don't be
but
hard
Barry.
On my
no, 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 Barry. Because he's the guy. I don't make the calls at ESPN 97.5, but I can tell you this. I know damn well, since I'm the commissioner of the NFL, when we're going to have the draft again in Vegas.
But, you know, he was thinking not, don't say 2020, don't say 2020. And then he said 2020, well, it happens. You've
that's like you
I've
introducing
misspoke.
The freaking,
Billy,
what do you call it?
Yeah.
The main guy in a comedy show. The headliner.
Right. But I'm just saying there's a lot of things that I'll judge Roger Goodell and others on. But accidentally misspeaking, especially in this line of business, that won't be one of them.
Okay.
I mean, look, we've gone after Stephen A. and others for the dumb things that they say, and I'm good with that. But he just misspoke. It was an accident.
Oh God, I can't even believe you're defending him. But whatever.
You kind of sound like you're just going to take her side. Okay.
Well, you know, it's kind of the household I'm living in these days, being in quarantine. Did you see CD Lamb?
Get off your chest, bud.
No, we're good. Did you see CD Lamb?
I did. Again, you got to remember, I was chatting online. I was doing the live broadcast with Carter Bryant, who killed it, by the way. He did trivia and brought jerseys, and he would show an old jersey from years ago and be like, who can guess this? And he ended up giving a memorabilia prize pack to whoever got the most right. It was really cool, all on his own dime. But that was going on, and then, you know, a lot of the listeners were in chatting with me, so I wasn't able to pay attention to everything in between the picks. Mm-hmm. But was CeeDee Lamb the one that his girl tried to get his phone?
So he's on one phone,
and he wasn't having
the other.
It?
Yeah, and she goes to reach for it, and he's like, nope, you ain't getting that. When everybody started laughing about it, then she had to get involved and go, it wasn't like that. I was live streaming for his agent, and y'all are just thinking the wrong things. And he was like, y'all really got to chill. It wasn't even like that. But then when it turns out before she dated C.D. Lamb, she was dating Trey Young, it's like, oh, girl, there's a reason why you are wearing that outfit and doing that with the
phone.
Let
me tell you. Girlfriends took a couple L's last night. It was not a good draft for girlfriends.
You're right.
What do they call them? Wags. It was a bad night for wags, wives and girlfriends, sports stars. It was a bad night because she tried to sneak a look into his phone, and like a G, like it was smooth too.
Yeah.
She picked it up, and like a G, he's on the phone, he's talking, and he just grabs it, and she resists it first. You could see her kind of jerk it, like no, I. And he was like, mm-mm. And he didn't get aggressive. He just like almost like with a kid. Like, he just held steady, never released it, but slowly started pulling it away, and she just eventually just let go.
Yep.
It was like, yo, that was smooth. He didn't panic. It wasn't like, oh, my God, give me my phone, woman. You're going to see. Nope. He just very calmly was like, I don't think so, honey.
Well, the crazy thing was Trey Young, who's the ex, is the one, too, that commented on it going, that's not going to happen. And it's like, oh, man, when your ex is in the middle of it. It's pretty funny, but yeah, so that was interesting. And then the who was it? It was, I think, the kid that Tennessee drafted, the offensive lineman. His girl sits up on his lap when he gets drafted wearing one of his previous jerseys from his high school. And after about 15 seconds of it, mom comes in and is like, yeah, all right, you're done. That's enough. Get out. Pushes her. And she wasn't moving. She shoved her right off of his lap and sat down next to him. I was like, there you go, mom.
The girl. Well, let's be real though, mom. I'm team mom on this one now, because she was doing, she's sitting in his lap. No one else was doing that. Every other girlfriend or friend or whatever. Now the family would come up and hug him, but no one was sitting in their lap. That was a straight up attention whore move. That was 1,000%. I'm trying to get me some camera time and just get this attention. And if I'm as much as I'm going to be on here and be in this moment and forever be in this moment, let me make this about me. And the mom was like, nah, bitch, this is his moment. Get out of his lap. Go sit down.
Until y'all
Your
are married
come.
And make it official, then you just, you know, you're not real family yet. And so you could come and you can go. You get out.
I was 1,000% team mom on that. I'm like, yeah, kick that attention whore out. That's all she was doing. You know it. There was no other reason for her to be sitting in his lap like that. None.
Yeah, so Isaiah Wilson, when the Titans drafted him, lineman out of Georgia, was that one.
That was
one.
So that was funny, man. That was epic.
Yeah, that was really, really good. And there were a couple other ones that I was looking at. The one that was interesting to me that I said to Lisa at the time, I was like, time out, look at this. Dave Gettleman is in a room all by himself, the GM of the Giants. He looks normal. He makes the pick. And as soon as the pick is done, he goes into his desk and pulls out an N95 mask and slaps it on like all of a sudden he's going to be now germ-free. I'm like, who are you doing that for? Why?
He was just, he was just letting everybody know.
He said he was trying to be protective of a Giants employee that was in there to help him with IT and filming stuff. Come on, Dave. Really?
Dave just was doing his best future, bro. Mask on, mask off. He was just like, you know what? I don't mess with this. I'm above all this, and I'm not dying for none of y'all. Mask on, mask off.
Okay. So you keep great. Believing that. Because I was looking at it, and I rewound it. I was like, did he really just, you know, first of all, you could talk on the phone with a mask on if you have to. But to have it off, and then all of a sudden after you make the pick, slap it back on, it's like, you forget there's cameras on you?
And let's be real, a lot of these players' family members look like they could have been drafted in the first round as an offensive lineman. There were some dudes.
Yep.
Like, there was one family hug where a guy who probably, he had to be four bills easy. Easy. I don't remember who it was, but they're sitting on the couch, and they're sitting there, and there's like, I don't know if it was mom or whoever, but there were two or three people around him, and they're all hugging, and this big boy comes in to join the family hug, and I just remember thinking, man, somebody is suffocating in that hug pile right now, because that dude was so big.
Yeah, he was really big.
On him. I was like, oh,
well, how about the other one?
First round pick. They're going
to
kill him.
You're trying to figure out where the draft pick is, and dad is on the floor doing snow angels. When he gets done, he knows where the camera is and just boxes everybody else out and goes and just starts showing out in front of the camera right by the TV. And then he turns around to go back. We still don't know where the kid is that got drafted. And then one of the family members comes in from like the kitchen trying to get in on it. And he's like, oh, no, hell no. Get out. But get out. And he points her and she gets back out of the shot. I'm like, oh, my man is all about his attention. He put in like 19, 20 good hard years raising this kid. He's getting his share tonight.
That's outstanding.
So back to the Dave Gettleman thing real quick.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't something that was really widely known. He survived cancer. So his body has gone through chemotherapy, so that makes him more susceptible to getting coronavirus. So because there was somebody in his house that not is normally in his house, a IT worker, he put the mask on to protect himself so he can't – so to try to not get it.
So you're buying
that. Ah, okay. Well, that makes sense, I guess. Yeah,
well,
I believe
okay.
that. Why wouldn't you?
No, time
why
out.
Wouldn't
because
you believe
as long as the kid that's in his house is wearing a mask – Then the kid's not going to infect him.
You really going to be that? Let me ask you this: if that were Taylor, you would think the same way. Oh, this person might have it. Taylor had been sick.
Now,
okay,
wait a minute.
Just
saying
that person having a mask
have it is different.
But I'm just saying. But if you're going to be cautious and you've been through what he had been through, it would make more sense for everybody in the house to be wearing a mask, including him. I get it. If that's the case, if it was just being weird, then that's one thing. But if that were the case, which I wasn't aware of or didn't pay attention to, okay.
I'm not buying it.
All right.
Aaron's being sympathetic to Dave Gettleman, which not a lot of people do, especially in the New York area.
No, they don't.
So, I mean, kudos to you, Aaron.
I read
trying.
Three or four articles this morning that all were like, yeah, everybody wanted to make jokes and stuff, but if you've been through chemotherapy, you're at a high risk for contracting this disease. I wouldn't take any risk if it were my family members either.
Okay, so your team Gettleman.
God, Joel, you're so heartless.
Oh, shut up. I'm fine with the fact that I think it was a ridiculous
so heartless.
Look.
Man. What do you want to – hey, what's next? What's next segment? Are you going to pick on the handicap? God, Joel.
No, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell people that if they want to take care of things and get treated the right way, they need to go to Fitz Roofing, because right now Fitz Roofing has all their people employed and they're trying to keep them that way. So they're trying to keep them busy. And so you might have a minor roofing issue that you've noticed in the last couple of weeks with some of the rain we've gotten, or you've been looking at your roof and thinking that there might be a gutter repair or something that needs to be done. There's only one place to go. It's Fitz Roofing. And you can call them 832-521-3001. And when you call them, rest assured, they're going to come right to you and they're going to take care of you, because right now they're doing minor repairs for free. So all you got to do is pick up the phone and call 832-521-3001. They come to you, tell you what they can do, and in most cases they're going to do it for free. You get it all taken care of, and they only are doing it because they're dedicated to Houston. They want to show you that when times are good and when times are tough, they are there for you at Fitz Roofing. The Fitz family has said they want this done and they want to take care of Houstonians, so you might as well cash in. It's FITZroofing.com or 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN97.5, as we wrap up hour number two of the 3-hour show. Plenty more to get to, including ESPN's Mike Greenberg to join us shortly. So appreciate you being along for the ride and having some fun with us along the way. Clarence has been waiting quite a while. He wants to get in here, I'm sure, on one specific team, but on the draft. So, Clarence, what's going on?
What's going on, gentlemen? Happy SDF Friday for funny and foolish in the Texans case.
Amen on that.
Yeah, because the next guy who comes in after O'Brien's fired is going to owner's going to be like, okay, all you got is a pack of cigarettes and this half-drunken bottle of cold drink, and then do with it what you will.
Were you happy with your Saints?
No, I'm very questionable about it. We got a center last year with McCoy, so I'm it's very questionable. Are they going to move the new guys?
Caesar. According to a lot of people, including Lance Zierlein this morning, Cesar Ruiz, the Michigan center, is going to be moved to guard.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to, but
a lot of people thought, Clarence, that they were going to go wide receiver there.
I thought that if Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb would have just kept sliding, they probably would have. But once they got off the board and once that Clay Thorn left, I thought they were going to go Queen. I really thought they were going to go Queen and get a linebacker to have some depth. But
yeah, well, linebackers,
either Queen or Aiyuki.
Well, and they needed. Getting an offensive line, and getting some help on the O line wasn't a terrible thing. But like you said, it was questionable the position that they drafted at. But maybe they felt like if they talked to him, hey, look, if you're here. What are the guys that we think we can move around? That way we're just going to take the best O-line. Do we think that if we go out and get a right tackle, we can slide him inside into guard? Or if we get a center, can we move him over to play guard? So I imagine that went into it as well, maybe. But, yeah, I mean, they had plenty of, you know, plenty of help was available for them at safety, at corner, at linebacker. So it is kind of interesting that they go offensive line and center first.
Yeah, I was a little surprised overall, but I thought that, the windows, this is what we're talking about with the Green Bay Packers as well, as the windows closing, but the windows closing on, the Drew Brees era, so give him every weapon and every chance, they signed Emmanuel Sanders, but, Michael Thomas is a younger guy, and Sanders, who knows how many years he's got left. But having three blazing receivers that can play at multiple positions can put you in a really, really – and you have Kamara. I don't know. I would have gone – my choice would have been to go receiver with all the receivers still available when they were picking.
Okay. Clarence, what else?
Clarence, are you there? Are you sleeping?
No, I'm here. I thought y'all disconnected, but I'm here.
Oh, good.
But, yeah, that's – I would have went receiver or inside linebacker as far as depth and have a good burner inside. But like I said, if Jefferson, I didn't think either Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb would have made it past the Eagles. But if they
Well, I have a lot of Eagles fans, not named Holly, that were all really ticked off they didn't take Jefferson. And
oh,
so,
boy.
Yeah,
Holly
there's
–
I didn't see her reaction, but I have friends that are from Philadelphia that were not happy that they skipped over him.
Mm-hmm. I think it was more. She was more PO'd at the Cowboys taking CeeDee Lamb versus the Eagles not jumping up to get him.
That's a good point because there are a lot of Cowboy fans that were pissed off with that pick because they didn't think that they were in a position of need by getting a receiver. But I think when best available falls into your lap like that, I don't think there's any way you pass him up.
Mm-hmm. That is so true.
Appreciate it, Clarence.
All right, gentlemen, have a great weekend. Stay safe.
You got
See you, buddy.
Good to get Clarence in here on a Friday. So even though he makes the same joke every time on Friday, but it's fine. F-E-F to you, sir.
But that's a throwback. That's how you know he's an original suspect. I respect that. You don't like it, but it's funny.
Barry, the next time we're in the living room or the barbershop, we'll talk about it. But until then, I think we know
you know, I know you get mad and it's directed at me. But you know that when I brought it up finally, there were several people that were like, oh, my God, that's what I thought, too. That's all just because you talk a little fast. It was not a – I just thought you were saying F-E-F instead of F-E-F.
If it was just the F-E-F, it would be okay. But then it was the living room and the locker room and the barbershop and, you know. So,
all right. Well,
it's fine. And it wasn't directed just at you, but you were at the crux of a lot of it. So, yeah.
I feel like you're saying I pick on you and give you the business, and I just don't believe that's true.
Oh,
that's
I
not
think most suspects, whether they are on your side or not, would say that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so, all right, well, there was a Saints perspective on the draft, but we've got, look, I'll tell you what, for all that we can say about, and easily so, all the criticisms of the Texans and Bill O'Brien's, picking with the 40th pick, there's going to be some good players to be had right about the time the Texans are picking, and they should be able to get themselves a good player in the second round. Not that it makes up for the fact that they didn't get a first for Hopkins, but the pick that they get being where it's at and with the run, I mean, there's a lot of different factors. There was a run on receivers late. We obviously know the quarterbacks that went. We know that there were a lot of O-line and a few D-line. But the bottom line is now the running backs are sitting there. So the fact that the runs were where they were the Texans with what they're paying David Johnson weren't going to draft a running back. And then the receivers, which I don't know. I don't think that they're going to do that either. Now with a running back, all the running backs expected to go in the second round, Texans could be in a position where they could have their pick of things, the positions you and I were talking about, Barry, whether it be a corner or a safety or a linebacker or a defensive lineman. They're going to have a lot to choose from, it looks like.
Yeah, if you go by, you know, again, consensus points of need, and everybody's going to have a little bit different, but I think everybody thinks they need help on the defensive line or an edge rusher. You could always get better on the interior of the offensive line. Corner is a concern, and wide receiver. Although I don't know that I would – that wide receiver I would probably put at the end of that list of things they need to go out and draft with their first pick in the draft. So let's just assume that those are the five positions of need. Receiver, defensive line, offensive line, edge rusher, and corner. What I did is I broke down, obviously because I'm a numbers dork, but I took a look at everybody that's picking in front of them from Cincy – all the way down to Miami. So that's 33 through 39. And what are their needs? Just to break it down for you, there are two teams that need receiver, three teams that need a defensive lineman, three teams that need an offensive lineman, three teams that still need an edge rusher, one team that needs corner help based on team needs as officially published. So that tells me that their best value and best bet would probably be to grab one of those two corners that still remain that are very highly regarded in this draft.
Probably right. So keep an eye on that as we give you more insight than anybody but Lance Zierlein in terms of what to expect from your Houston Texans in round two as the numbers guy has spoken and Barry's telling you that it looks like, based on tendencies, unless there's a lot of team trade movement, could be centered on a corner or in secondary help as they go for their first pick of the draft. With that being said, we're expected to have Mike Greenberg join us next from ESPN. So look forward to that. Look forward to the final hour of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. And pacing and plotting the course.
He's fighting and fighting and riding. ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.